The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I think addiction is one of the most fascinating topics about human nature all the way around. It's so interesting and fits in with probably with the homeless thing I'm about to talk about because he's probably an addict of some sort. I mean, some of you all don't believe in addiction. Everything's a personal choice. Some of you believe everything in his addiction and there's no such thing as personal choice. I think it's somewhere in between there, but I'm not exactly sure where you draw the line.
Yeah, there's a lot that's still not known.
A ton that's not known. Here's an example though. A Los Angeles nun who had taken a vow of poverty embezzled $835,000 to fund her gambling habit.
Oh.
Clearly a gambling addict.
Wow.
And couldn't overcome it. Margaret Cooper, 79, charged Tuesday with wire fraud and money laundering. Embezzled over $800K in donations, tuition, and fee money from St. James Catholic School in L.A., in Torrance, actually. Was the school principal for 28 years. All those people that donated that money, you know, to do God's work, and she squandered it on gambling.
Wow. I can't even imagine the stress that sort of lifestyle would put you through, and yet she couldn't or wouldn't stop.
I read the other day, it's the first time I'd ever come across anybody saying what I have said for years, but it was somebody saying about how if you have an addiction of any kind, you can recognize it's an addiction, but you don't get other people's addictions. So, like, I'm an alcoholic. Gambling seems stupid to me. Stop. Why don't you stop? It's moronic.
But you're going to lose addicts, more than you win. I mean, duh.
People who are gambling addicts think, you know, why don't you stop smoking or whatever. You know, it's just whatever your thing is, you realize, I have no control over this, no matter what. I know it doesn't make sense. I'm still doing it. But we don't get other people's. So I don't know. Anyway. Brief version of this. I having trouble getting Henry take some medicine he needed to take. Offered him, you can get whatever you want at Baskin Robbins if you take your medicine. That was good enough. He took his medicine. Off to Baskin Robbins we go. First, probably the third time we've been to Baskin Robbins, this Baskin Robbins in like 2 weeks. Same freaking loser degenerate hobo parked on the same bench outside Baskin Robbins. The best place to sit in the area. Under a shade tree, shops and stores around, downtown of a very upscale town. He apparently owns that bench. He's always on that bench. Nobody else can sit there. There are two benches next to it that nobody sits on unless there's another degenerate homeless person comes by. They're willing to sit next to him. Nobody else does because he's like laughing to himself, then arguing, then kind of crying or asleep. He smells like a garbage dump. And he's been there three times in the last week and a half, and I took a picture of him, and I wanted to, like, piece together some sort of brilliant by my standards. This guy apparently owns this bench, and explain, you know, what that takes away from all of the rest of us, because he's decided that bench is his, and why we put up with it.
Right, and I know including this, the business, which is paying very high taxes to be right there.
Oh, yeah, and I know this happens in towns all around America. Why did we decide he gets to have the nice spot shade tree with your ice cream, your magazine from the cool bookstore over there, whatever. He gets to own that bench. We don't, just because he decided that's where he's going to sit his filthy bum every single day. Maybe you think every homeless person you come across is a gentle soul who's just screwed by the system. That's not always the case. And you don't know until something happens. So anyway, we got this text that I thought was interesting. Who lives in the same town I'm near, apparently. The bum you're talking about, his name is, gives the name. As a manager of another downtown business, it's funny, as soon as you start talking about it, I knew exactly who you're talking about. Every so often, he'll just stop in front of our store, and he'll talk to people at random, and they get freaked out and scurry away. Really great for business. But my point was, I wanted to, like, post something on the Twitter or write to the newspaper and say, this guy clearly owns this bench. It's his bench. I've been here three times in the last week and a half. He's always at this bench. Nobody else gets to sit here. He's too scary looking and sounding for anybody to sit near him. So he's taken the nice shady spot in our beautiful downtown square, and he owns it. Have we decided that that's a good thing? It seems to me that there's two things. Since he's talking to himself and everything like that, is he crazy? If he's crazy, we got to get him. Society has to get a crazy person into some sort of facility. If he's crazy, you just can't leave him there on the bench talking to himself and owning that public space. Or
it seems like an odd policy for an advanced society.
Or he's a loser drug addict, in which case he needs to be booted out. It seems like those are really the only two choices.
Yeah, well, that's progressive policy has nothing but compassion to it. It has no order. It has no discipline. You know, and all good policy has to have a mix. I mean, I said it. It's all compassion, no discipline. And the result is that the undisciplined get to run roughshod, and the citizens just get screwed.
It's wild that we just give over public spaces to the homeless, though. Well, you get that underpass now. That's just yours, I guess. Or this bench in front of this business, I guess that's just you and your buddies now. It belongs to you now. Why?
Well, it's the parks and schools that really bother me because they're so expensive and the taxpayers all get together and it's not cheap to build and maintain a nice park. The Department of Parks and Recreation, perhaps you've heard of it. They all make money over there.
Came across this kind of randomly from agweb.com. I don't know their act at all. While America slept, China stole the farm. I didn't know any of this stuff. American farmers are asleep as a thief strips machinery, barn, bins, and fields of all valuables and then returns for more. China has breached the inner walls of the U.S. agricultural industry and in what has arguably been the most expansive heist in farming history and is currently attempting to steal or hack every conceivable facet of U.S. agriculture technology. The Chinese Communist Party openly has declared its intent to dominate high-tech industries across the world, including agriculture, by 2025. That's just 3.5 years from now. Undergirding its technological superiority effort, China has unabashed plans for a solo climb to the top rung of the global power ladder by 2049, as we all know. In order to fuel its ascendance, the CCP is engaged in widespread theft, cyber hacking, and espionage. We've talked about this in the past, a 27 report by the U.S. Commission on American Intellectual Property estimates that between a quarter of a trillion or $600 billion is taken out of the U.S. economy each year by China stealing our intellectual property. $600 billion a year? That is absolutely unbelievable. In 2020, the FBI acknowledged multiple espionage benchmarks. A new China-related counterintelligence case opens every 10 hours. Over half of all active FBI counterintelligence cases involve China. Over half of all of them. And wow. Across the last 10 years, economic espionage with links to China jumped by 1,300%.
Can you imagine if a country had a whole of society, 100-year plan, to rip off, to dominate, to steal from, and surveil its great rival? And that great rival was in the midst of a period where it was saying, come on in, sure, no problem. To the point that And I've told this story before, where the FBI went onto a major college campus, told the university president, a number of the Chinese scholars you have working here are Chinese agents. They're spies. And they were told, get off my campus, you racists. This was not long ago. It was in the 2000s. Can you imagine a target so soft? God, China just, they've got to be guffawing behind closed doors. And sad that it's come to an end, and they're a little pissed off. But
I think they're mostly surprised it lasted so long. Anyway, this article goes into depth on how particularly they're aiming at agriculture and just robbing us blind, and we're not paying any attention to it, which fits in a little bit with this podcast out of the New York Times for today, David Sanger and others talking about how Trump set the table for how we're going to try to take on China, Sean, and that Sanger clip that we were talking about earlier, how Trump had set the table for taking on China around all this theft and everything like that, and Biden is continuing it.
That's right. Japan was a commercial adversary, but not a military adversary, and China's the opposite. But you know, Michael, something else happened in the course of this that changed the debate, and that was Donald Trump.
What do you mean?
He walked away from all of the usual Republican ideology on this issue and many others when he made that turn about a year and a half ago at the beginning of the pandemic and began describing China not as a potential deal maker with the United States, but as its mortal enemy. And that cemented the view in his own party that any bill that was described as a counter-China bill was worth passing. That was what changed the debate. And when President Biden came in, he actually extended this debate by casting it as the battle between democratic forces and autocracy.
And the Senate passed one yesterday, and so that's 2 days in a row that we've had reporters on from Trump-hating newspapers who say Trump was on the right side of this when he started to treat China like an enemy. Josh Rogan yesterday from the Washington Post, and that's David Sanger from the New York Times. That pivot that happened because Trump didn't give a crap what you know, what was the orthodoxy or the studies that said or the policy people or whatever about how you should approach this. He just declared all of a sudden, China's an enemy. China's an enemy of the United States, and here's what they're doing. And I'm going to sanction them and this and that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was just reading an article about all the people in the Biden administration who are married to other people in the Biden administration, or their sister is the editor-in-chief of the Washington Post, or whatever. Just the incredibly small nature of Washington. And I think most of us don't quite get how, if the entire, you know, patched elbow pipe smoking intelligentsia of the State Department, the whole culture of D.C. believes one thing about, for instance, China policy. It's hard to go against that and say, no, you're all wrong. They're robbing us blind. They're our mortal enemy. And that's sociologically, for some reason, hard for people to do because they want to be popular in that big high school. Well, Trump came in and he didn't give a crap, you know, for better or worse. And in the case of China policy, it may have saved our ass.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that he knew those people would never accept it.
How long would it have taken for a president to have had the guts to really turn the ship the other direction on China? Remember day one of his presidency? There were two stories day one of his presidency. One, how big was the crowd on the mall? And two, that he made a phone call to the leader of Taiwan. And oh boy, that just shows how stupid Trump is. You are not supposed to do that. You are supposed to talk to China first because it's important that China realizes that Taiwan, blah, blah, blah. He got so much crap for not getting it. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was poking China in the eye and saying there's a new guy here with a different attitude.
Armstrong and Getty.
Cancer. So many lives are touched by cancer. In fact, one in two men and one in three women will be diagnosed with cancer. At the American Cancer Society, we're on a mission to free the world from cancer. It's a big mission, driven by little things, like a ride to treatment, a free place to stay, a 24/7 helpline. But these little things are really the big things, because to a cancer patient and their family, they're everything. And every day, we reach thousands of cancer patients who so desperately need these services. But we need your help to get these critical services to more people and families in need this holiday season. Go to cancer.org and join the fight against cancer. It takes just minutes to donate and help provide essential support to cancer patients and their families. Don't wait. More than one in three people will be diagnosed with cancer. Go to cancer.org right now and make a difference. Go to cancer.org.
And now an important message from Exergen. A critical new FDA study proves that the widely used non-contact thermometers are not accurate and have high probabilities for false negative readings. On top of that, they have inaccurate information on their labels regarding accuracy. New COVID strains are on the rise and non-contact manufacturers are being irresponsible at a time when accuracy matters most. Accurate temperature measurements are essential. Don't wait. Switch to Exergen because they are accurate and backed by over 100 clinical studies. Be sure. Be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Don't you just love the smell of old books?
Shh, this is a library.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for a book titled Liberty Mutual Customizes Your Car Insurance So You Only Pay for What You Need.
I don't think we carry that, but check nonfiction.
It really does devour literature.
Please leave.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, liberty, liberty.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Redding Garden of Lights. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
Happy holidays from Redding Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Redding Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew. Brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sungrown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sungrown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Bodies. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coachmaster has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coachmaster repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to take this moment to thank our veterans and those currently enlisted in the military for their service. Since 2006, Redding Kia has set out to be the premier automobile dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2022 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive the 2022 Kia Sorento today. Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000 limited-mile powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Jack Armstrong and Joe
Getty.
I forewarned you.
Let's go, Brandon.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I almost shouted mailbag. Sorry. Wow. Freedom-loving quote of the day first. Sent along by alert listener Ken. It's from a SCOTUS opinion by Justice Kennedy. It's a little longish, but I thought it was good. When a student first encounters our free speech jurisprudence, he or she might think it is influenced by the philosophy that one idea is as good as any other, that in art and literature, objective standards of style, taste, decorum, beauty, and aesthetics are deemed by the Constitution to be inappropriate, indeed unattainable. Quite the opposite is true. The Constitution no more enforces a relativistic philosophy or moral nihilism than it does any other point of view. The Constitution exists precisely so that opinions and judgments, including aesthetic and moral judgments about art and literature, can be formed, tested, and expressed. What the Constitution says is that these judgments are for the individual to make, not for the government to decree, even with the mandate or approval of a majority.
Hmm.
Well said, sir. Well said.
That's hate speech is not free speech.
I hate you. That's hate speech. Mailbag. And appropriately enough, I sound like Joe Biden. According to TSOT, greetings, guys. I thought I would pass along a statement I read this evening out of my current book, as I think it highlights beautifully the human conditions that's being hijacked by critical race theory.
Ah, the human conditions.
It's from Why People Believe Weird Things by Michael Shermer. I'm not familiar with the book. It sounds intriguing. Quote, but as soon as a group sets itself up as the final moral arbiter of other people's actions, especially when its members believe they have discovered absolute standards of right and wrong, it marks the beginning of the end of tolerance, and thus reason and rationality. Holy crap, if that doesn't describe the cult of critical race theory, I don't know what does. Yikes!
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is. Moving along to the correspondence proper, William writes, oh, Michael.
Da-da-da-da.
You probably want to get a certain little bell ready. President Biden's comments after the summit with Putin reminds me of when Neville Chamberlain returned to England after his conference with Adolf Hitler, in which Chamberlain gave Hitler the green light to invade Eastern Europe. That didn't remind me of that much.
No, it didn't occur to me.
It wasn't terribly strong, but we'll talk about that more later. Guys, I'm listening to today's show, and you're talking about the fire started by bums and junkies. Here's how my Saturday afternoon went. I'm in the wind watching this fire started by bums and junkies headed straight for my house, praying the fire department would arrive soon. And in the time I had to grab a few things, my pad to alert the neighbors who were oblivious, it was surreal.
Oh.
Watching the flames, listening to the whispers of the fire burning through dry grass and weeds, thank God for everything that went right, and no one but the junkies lost their homes, as it turns out. Commented yesterday, Los Angeles Fire Department, and it could have been, L.A., the Bay Area, to Sacramento, anywhere on the West Coast because it's so dry, saying that they respond to a dozen fires a day set in the bum and junkie encampments. And if you're new to the show, yeah, bums and junkies. Those are not the families trying to get back on their feet. You never see them. They're in the shelters. They're behaving themselves. They're working as hard as they can to get their lives going again. God bless them. I wish them well. The tent cities, those are bums and junkies.
Yeah.
Note from Terry here. I cannot understand all of the mask-wearing people of all ages wearing masks outdoors yesterday. Is this the result of a year of brainwashing by our government through every media outlet? The Fauci fear drip was slow and steady, but did the job. Then she name checks a bunch of towns around where she lives where people are outdoors alone wearing masks.
I want to talk about that later, because there's a certain argument of, why do you care if people wear masks? I'll tell you why I do care that other people are wearing masks and they don't need to. I think it's very important, but get into that later.
I'll stay tuned. And this from Jeff. Guys, I still wear a mask outdoors, and I also keep an iron lung in the spare bedroom, just in case my polio vaccine fails. KJSOT, keep Jonas Salk off Twitter. Jeff in Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, now that is funny.
Armstrong and Getty. Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans,
French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday, practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern, conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
This is Carl Bott. Join Trish Clark and me on Thursday as we discuss what's happened this year. Let's look at the political side of events and let's look about what may happen next year. We're going to turn it loose, so feel free to join the conversation at 605-4567. That's Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
That's... Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy holidays.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes, who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Getty.
Point of personal privilege.
Don't get brazen with me.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So a couple of stories about urban decay and an effort to turn it around. First of all, as we span the continent, a quick look into the West Coast. Readers were stunned when the San Francisco Chronicle actually asked in their website / newspaper, quote, residents and city leaders are searching for answers amidst rampant crime. Should they tolerate burglaries as part of city living and focus on barricading homes?
Who ever considers tolerating burglaries, ever?
Wait a minute, there's more. You're right. You're absolutely right. But should repeat offenders, these are repeat burglars, friends, should repeat offenders get rehabilitation services or be incarcerated so they can't commit more crimes? Two men with long criminal histories got caught for stealing bikes. What should San Francisco do about them? They asked in pained tones, just confused.
Throw them in jail for as long as you can. That would be my answer.
I would say dab up your unicorn's tears and suck them out of the cloth you used for their magical healing powers, friends. That's what you should do, you bunch of friggin' nut jobs. Unbelievable. This is an the piece explores the city's pursuit for criminal justice reform while debating, quote, how to manage the rates of property crime that for years have been among the highest in the nation. And of course, Twitter reacted the way Twitter should, including some fairly, substantial humans who you may have cause of. You may have heard of. I'm trying to read while I talk. Think about how far gone the city of San Francisco must be for its major newspaper to write the first sentence below as if it's a reasonable civic question. Should we just get used to burglaries and barricade ourselves in our house? A couple of people talked about how many friends and loved ones have fled the city and that they have to be next. Predictable. So moving along to a rather notable conversation that just took place in New York City, Gotham. Between a so-called Black Lives Matter activist, Hawk Newsom, and the mayor-elect, Eric Adams. First of all, let's hear from...
Eric Adams, who is the mayor-elect because he ran on Law & Order in a bluest city as you can get in America.
Absolutely true. So first, clip of... What? I've got the wrong list in front of me. The Hawk Newsom clip, Michael, I think is 11.
If they think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we're going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed.
Keeping in mind inciting a riot is a crime, he was debating the plan for a return to tougher policing with Adams. Now, Adams, the mayor-elect who ran on cracking down on the rampant, dangerous crime in New York City, which was, until Bill de Blasio took over, one of the safest cities in the world, per capita.
Black guy, former cop, saying, no, not defund the police, refund the police.
Right. So he said to ignore the history of some of the excesses. They're talking about the anti-crime squad, which was a substantially plainclothes unit, which was absolutely involved in some of the cases that everyone condemned as being wrong. The choking death of Eric Garner, the death of Amadou Diallo, who was shot. He had a cell phone in his hand, etc. But Adams, through his campaign, promised to bring back a reinvented version of the anti-crime unit that was tasked with firearm busts as well as a crackdown on violent crime and hard drugs. Oh, remind me, I have a hard drugs thought to throw in. To me, it's perfect. A guy saying, we had a squad, we had policies that made the city safe. There were excesses that were regrettable. You removed the squad and the policies, and now the city is incredibly unsafe. A shocking rise in crime that everybody hates. So what we're going to do is revisit those policies, refine them, take a hard look at the excesses, and make sure we prevent them. And this guy, because BLM is not about logic, it's not about policy, it's not about good governance, it's about power, and it's about Marxism. So this guy says, we'll be at his front door, we'll be at Gracie Mansion, we'll be in the streets if he allows the police to abuse us. Well, he's not saying he's going to. There'll be riots and fire and bloodshed. Okay, fine, fine. You know, congratulations all you corporations that poured tens of millions of dollars into this crazed Marxist organization.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fools. Unbelievable. At one point during the meeting, the mayor-elect grew agitated with New Hawk's sister, who's also a activist, quote-unquote, who said, politicians shuck, jive, and use rap quotes, but don't make real changes. You need to be corrected, Adams said, talking over it. You need to be corrected based on what you're saying. Don't tell me I need to do this. Say, we need to do this. I put my body on the line for my community. So I'm not here for folks to come and say, I'm going to hold you accountable. No, it's us working together, etc. So I wish the guy well. I think his progress, his success, his failure are going to be watched very, very closely, and I think they could do a powerful amount of good.
Well, it's the history of mankind that when there's enough disorder, people are willing to put up with practically anything to have order return. In this case, it's in the form of Eric Adams, who's just a good, decent citizen who wants law and order. But you've seen it around the world where they are welcoming the Taliban in a lot of those villages because they've had disorder for so long. The Taliban is better than this. You saw it in Iraq when they were allowing ISIS, Al Qaeda is better than just the mayhem we have here. So people will welcome anything to have order return to their city.
Right, right.
So,
and there's no indication that this guy's over the top or fascist or pro-beatings or anything like that. He seems like a straight shooter.
No, just my point is if crime gets bad enough, if disorder gets bad enough, people want that to end at any cost. And so the fact that New York, as blue as it is turning toward law and order is not surprising to me. They've had enough of it. When is it going to happen for San Francisco and Portland and Seattle? And L.A. and lots of places.
Right, exactly. That is the question. But Black Lives Matter wants the police to go away, wants prisons to go away and jails to go away. They don't have a shred of common sense on their side. And yet, you know, the giant donations. So anyway, my hard drugs note that I wanted to throw in real quickly. We, among very, very few others, have been talking about the new meth that's on the street. Big, giant article in The Atlantic, an excerpt from a brand new book. We're working to interview the author in one of our extra-large podcasts. And the book's about fentanyl and hard drugs, but it's also about this new meth that when the cartels couldn't get ephedrine anymore, they started to make it with a different chemical process so they could keep their enormous profits going from the streets of the blue cities where meth has been essentially legalized. The problem with this new chemically, the new chemical composition is that it rots people's brains. It causes severe mental illness problems quickly. Not after years of rampant abuse, but after weeks. It's incredibly dangerous, okay, if you're not up to speed on this. So I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who works in a drug rehab, the addictions center of a hospital. And I said, hey, it's funny I should run into you. I explained what I just explained. And he said, no, I haven't seen that article. I haven't heard that. But he said, all of a sudden, we have, and it's a very, very recent phenomenon, people who can no longer speak. They're meth addicts, but they can't speak, which was one of the things the article in The Atlantic was talking about. He said, we have people that can't write their names. And we've been wondering, what the hell is going on? And he mentioned another several symptoms that are mentioned in this article. I can't believe all of America isn't talking about this. This is why you have crazy junkies clogging your streets and parks and sidewalks.
This is why it has gotten so much more dangerous to walk down the street. And, you know, it used to be you walk by a bunch of beggars or whatever, and usually nothing happened. Now they start screaming at you and throwing things at you. That's probably this drug.
And look, let's remove the question of sympathy or culpability or anything from the equation. Everybody's trying to figure out who are all these bums and junkies, quote-unquote homeless people. And the question's often asked. We've asked it. Are they just mentally ill, which is a terrible situation, and I am more than willing to help a mentally ill person? Are they drug addicts? Are they mentally ill because they're drug addicts? Well, a substantial answer has been laid in our laps. These tweakers are rotting their brains. It's an all-out emergency. It's DEFCON 1 on America's streets, and nobody's talking about it. We need to crack down hard on meth. And I'm a libertarian. I don't care if you get high all day long. But we have to crack down on this meth because it is killing thousands of Americans, and it is ruining America's cities.
I wish I'd hear one more news outlet mention it other than us. Then I would think maybe it's gaining some traction. Haven't heard a word of it anywhere.
Yeah, we've got to get this guy on. We've got to do a podcast with him and then chop it up and get it on the air. I mean, this might be the headline for America's cities, and it's getting no traction because Trump's not involved, and it's not about race.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Are you tired of gulping down the lying filth of the mainstream media? Yeah, we are too. We try to tell you the truth every single day.
Gulping down lying filth. Wow.
Nobody wants to sound dumb. Our goal is to help you not sound dumb. We'll inform you, and it'll be fun at the same time. You have to choose between entertainment and information. Combine them both with the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty On Demand. 4 episodes available every day.
Via the iHeartRadio app or wherever you download your podcasts.
Exergen would like you to know about an important study just released by the FDA. It confirms what the medical community has known all along. Non-contact thermometers are not accurate. The study also reports that they fail to meet FDA requirements for accuracy in labeling. With new strains of COVID on the rise, we can't afford to tolerate the rampant false temperature readings from non-contact thermometers. Accurate temperature measurements are essential. You need Exergen thermometers because they're accurate and backed by over 100 clinical studies. Be sure. Be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our New Year's special. Save up to $1,000 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Joe Getty.
Depression.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So I came across this in the Washington Post yesterday about the homicide rate in America. It is, it's something from the year 2019 to the year 2020. We had the largest jump in homicides year to year, probably in our nation's history.
It's around 30%, wasn't it?
It's just insane.
Like that.
Yeah. Probably the biggest jump in one year. And everybody was guessing, you know, is it the COVID? Is it the protests led to what was it? Well, this year, a whole bunch of cities are up from last year. And the Washington Post had this opinion piece. The title was this: I used to run a police homicide unit. The rage behind so many of today's murders feels new. Let me read a little bit of this and then we'll discuss, because I have my own kind of half-baked theories. A disturbing factor is the pure irrational rage that seems increasingly to drive these grim numbers. Uncontrollable anger has always accounted for some murders, of course, but I've been struck in recent years by the greater role it plays in these cases. In recent years, the data showed that inane, petty disputes increasingly are sparking killings. People die over absurdities, dibs on a car wash stall, stolen weed, getting cut off in traffic, beer pong gone wrong. More and more guns are likely to be involved. Nationally, the firearm homicide rate increased 26% between 2010 and 2019. That's, you know, some of you might think it's the gun is the reason. One dark thread winds through murder statistics. In part, it explains when ordinary, everyday irritation or resentment might turn to homicidal fury. Killers generally feel powerless over their circumstances, having lost control over their lives. They may commit violence in an attempt to regain a semblance of it. And the ultimate exercise of control over life is taking someone else's. The pandemic no doubt exacerbated that sense of helplessness. A dangerous sense of lurking chaos has been in the air. I think we all feel that. Add to that the contemporary turn towards simple meanness online and in the media, with bullying often admired and nastiness rewarded. Death threats have replaced debate. We've seen that in recent weeks. Inch by inch, rage becomes the norm. And in that poisonous atmosphere, tragedies are inevitable. I'll read one more bit from this article, and then we can discuss. One thing each of us can contribute is consciously working to lower the social rage level in America, says this person that used to run a homicide department. Try to make empathy and compassion a reflex and not instant anger at anyone who has offended you online or in the real world. If a rage culture has been created, it also can be rolled back. Well, I'm sure that's true. I'm hoping you're right that we can. But she touched on a bunch of different things there. The social media stuff, the anger online, the pandemic. Well, first of all, I guess I'll just hit you with what do you think it is?
Well,
she's starting with the premise that she feels like rage is definitely part of it. She was in the homicide department for decades and decades and decades. She's now retired. Looking back over the years, she says fury over minor incidents, that has changed.
Yeah, it's not the guns. It's a cultural norm. And you have to keep in mind that the vast majority of murders committed are committed in big cities or medium-sized cities. And there is a culture of the slightest grievance, the slightest questioning of one's manhood or attempt to get over on somebody else, they can escalate to death. The idea that this is worth killing someone over, for a lot of us, is a tiny, tiny list at the very top of a very grim pyramid. For a lot of America, it is absolutely any dispute. You question my manhood, I will kill you.
Yeah. Obviously, that could play a role. I wonder if people just aren't walking around we're just walking around with more rage on average than we ever have before. So if you're walking around, everybody knows this. If you're angry, if you're under a lot of stress, it's often the minor thing that makes you twist off. That's
sure.
When you snap at your kids, your spouse, your coworker, whatever. It's just you're already angry, so it's you twist over off something. So I'm not sure at that moment it's a, I've chosen to make this minor incident a DEFCON 1 event. It's that we're walking around so angry all the time. What I wonder is why are we walking around so angry all the time? My own theory is there's something going on around this whole social media isolation, not connected to people thing, that is huge, like a complete change in the way Homo sapiens have existed forever. And it's making us crazy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You have to keep in mind, if you're talking about murder, a lot of it is gang-related. A lot of it.
Good point.
And you've got to go with the George Floyd protests and the cops pulling back and the lack of support from city councils and the rest of it have turned the streets over to junkies and gangbangers. So there's that. That is not an argument against what you're saying, because I think what you're saying is absolutely true too. And it is part probably of the stew of causes that's caused the murder rate to rise. And it's also, part of the cause for a lot of ills in society. But I think that the murder rate has more to do with urban areas and policing, honestly. I'm not sure the gangs of Chicago were walking around all tense because of Facebook and COVID mandates.
Yeah. I just, as I was reading this article last night, I think we're a long way from fully understanding what the modern world has done to us.
Agreed.
We might be decades from fully understanding it. Maybe we'll never understand it. Maybe it's too complex. But I was just thinking of Bill Maher all of a sudden, because he used to mock people who talk about, people say there's so much change taking place. And he'd say, come on, the biggest change in human history happened between like 1830 and 1900. Prior to like 1830, human beings hadn't been living that much differently than they were 10,000 years ago, really, in terms of the ability to travel and communicate. There's still horse and, how fast a horse could get something somewhere. And then everything changed with rail and telegraph and all that sort of stuff, and the combustible engine and the Industrial Revolution. All that happened. But
the rise of the dirigible, of course.
He used to say that. I don't think that's true anymore.
No.
Think the change that has happened in the last 10 years around communication, social media, all that sort of stuff, is the biggest change that has ever happened to human beings ever. And we're not even close to understanding what it's doing to us yet.
Oh, my gosh, that reminds me. I've got some unbelievable tape from the World Economic Forum. This historian talking about the postmodern metaverse, high-tech humans and machines meshing, the AI, the what do you call it, the universe, the continuum, the turning point, the switch, the big switch off, the conundracy, when the machines start to teach themselves and learn and
the synergy? No, it's the equilibrium. No, I can't
figure orgasm.
It.
I can't.
The big orgasm.
I can't remember what the term is. The singularity.
There you go.
There good it one. Is. But anyway, he's talking about this, and I tell you what, it makes me want to head for the hills.
Yeah.
I think we're in the opening, we're in the second inning of the modern computerized world making us insane.
Wow, so all this change, I was just talking about the biggest change in human history, you think we're in the second inning of that happening?
Oh, yeah, you're going to be hooked up to some machine draining your vital fluids in some organ farm before you know it, with computers drilling holes in your brain, using your energy to harness some supercomputer run by Bill Gates and the WHO, I'm telling you. Sweater putting the chips in you.
With the vaccine? Yeah,
exactly.
I know it. Exactly.
Goes without saying.
You have any thoughts on this? You think what's making us so murdery? Joe might be right. It might just be gang stuff.
Partly. That might be the bulk of it.
Armstrong and Getty.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.